you know that the members did not get the copies. No, for the legacy report, you do have the copies, all of you in advance. And then the second part of our agenda is going to be consideration of the budget, on the budget. And the adoption of the minutes. Any comments on the agenda? Do we accept the agenda as it is? It's very short, members. That budget report, we will go through it page by page, paragraph by paragraph, so that the members can make some changes if they so wish, and at the end we all own the report. Shares as Honorable Matisha, what is the agenda minutes? Okay, thank you. There is no comment, nothing from the members, so I will give over to Mr. Ngcobo, the content advisor of the committee, to take us through to the legacy report. And they have promised that all of them, it's not only him, all of them, including the researcher, they own that report, Honorable Matisha. And they will answer your questions.
Members of Parliament were sworn in, and then the Speaker and Deputy offices that are reporting to the Department of Labor. We have the compensation fund, which is administering compensation for occupational injuries and diseases, according to the COIDA, that is the Compensation for Occupational Injuries and Diseases Act. And then we have the Unemployment Insurance Fund, which administer unemployment insurance, which is a short-term relief currently of 8 months for the unemployed. And then we have the Conciliation for Mediation and Arbitration, the CCMA, which is our dispute resolution forum, which is there to ensure fair labor practice. We also have a Productivity SA, whose main purpose is to promote workplace productivity, competitiveness, and social plan intervention. And then lastly, we have the National Economic Development and Labor Canvas Network, which is our social dialogue forum. And then the committee itself, that is the Portfolio Committee of Labor, its functions are to monitor financial as well as non-financial performance of the Department of Labor and its entities, is to process and pass legislation, and this is to facilitate public participation. The functions of the committee can also be found on the rules of the National Assembly, Chapter 12, Rule 201, the functions of portfolio committees. And then the rule expatiates on the functions of portfolio committees, which is, among others, they say a portfolio committee must maintain oversight of exercise within its portfolio of national executive authority, including the implementation of legislation. Any executive organ of state falling within its portfolio, any constitutional institution falling within its portfolio, and any other body or institution in respect of which oversight was assigned to that particular committee. This is the rules of National Assembly, Rule 201. And then, the purpose of this report is to provide an account of the Portfolio Committee on Labour's work from the Fourth Parliament and to inform the incoming members of the key outstanding issues pertaining to the oversight and legislative program of the department and its entities. It is also to provide an overview of the activities of the committee during the whole parliament, the outcome of key activities, as well as any challenges that emerged during the period under review, and issues that should be considered or follow up during the first parliament. And then these are the key statistics of the work of the committee. The committee had 158 meetings, that is during the term, the 5-year term of the committee. It processed 4 legislation, and then it undertook 7 oversight visits. It had 1 study tour, and then it processed 4 international agreements, and there were no statutory appointments made by the committee. And then the stakeholders that the committee is dealing with mainly is organized labor, organized business, and government. And then the committee had the public hearings on labor broking to ascertain the views of the public on the subject. And the hearings were held as follows. The hearings were held in Parliament on the 25th to the 26th of August 2009, in the Free State, Northwest, Gauteng, and KwaZulu-Natal on the 5th to the 8th of October 2009. 2009, and in the Eastern Cape was from the 8th to the 9th of November 2009. The following recommendations were made, among others, that the DOL should amend or draft Section 198 of the LRA to clarify the employment relationship, and that the DOL should introduce legislation to address the abusive practices in atypical forms of employment by holding all parties liable for the conditions of workers. So these recommendations, I think they have been incorporated into the amendments that were considered by the committee towards the end of the term. And then going back to the stand, the meetings that were conducted in 2009-10 financial year, there were 30 minutes, and then in 2010-11 there were 29 minutes, all in all amounting to a total of 158 meetings held during the term. And on average, we can say that the committee held about 32 meetings per annum. And then the legislation that was considered by the committee were the Labor Relations Amendment Bill, the Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Bill, the Employment Equity Amendment Bill, and the Employment Services Bill. The Employment Equity Amendment Bill has already been promulgated, and it is now an act of parliament. The other legislation are still awaiting assent by the president. And then the oversight visit that was conducted in 2010, the Northwest Mpumalanga Department of Housing Oversight Visit was undertaken from the 17th to the 25th of May. And in October, an oversight was undertaken to the fishing industry and sheltered employment services in the Western Cape. In 2012, oversight visits was undertaken to the Western Cape farms, that was from the 24th to the 27th of January 2012. And then beginning of 2013, January to February 2013, oversight visits was undertaken to the province of KwaZulu-Natal. And then 23rd of July 2013, oversight visit to the Western Cape province, which was actually, what do you call this? This visit where the department or the entities of the department are not like informed in advance that they were doing oversight visit to the undertaking. I think it's called BIT, yeah, this oversight visit. And then in January 2014, early this year, we undertook an oversight visit to the Eastern Cape, and then in February, oversight visit to the Northern Cape. And then there was only one study tour during the term, which was to Germany, Berlin, and Nuremberg. The objective was to assess and learn more about the Germany's active labor market programs, especially the public employment services. This was that was mainly since the consortium committee was dealing with the legislation that was relevant to this oversight system. And then there were four international agreements that were concluded. That is the Domestic Worker Convention, the Labor Inspection Convention, the Maritime Labor Convention, and the Work in the Fishing Worker Convention. So all in all, we can say the focus areas of the fourth committee are looking at the legacy report itself, the second page. It was firstly the understand that it's a certain problem. I'm now looking at the legacy report itself, not the PowerPoint presentation. This document.
Thank you, Mr. Rabo.
has an order with you.
Is the person available? Are they here? Okay. Well, I have no objection to hearing more information. That's fine. Yeah.
Okay. Then we can, she is on her way, but we can then engage in other issues that have been raised. A lot of people anyway.
Just check, mine is up to check if we can have a full report on this item on the fishing industry. Because you can pick up from the Legacy report that though it started in 2010, have not yet been resolved. So if we can be given the full written report so that we are having more information on the matter.
To add on what the honorable member is saying, maybe you can, if there are any interventions, so that if you say we must take from where the fourth parliament left, at least you have an idea of the interventions that have been made. Honorable Mantashe. And thank you for reminding us about the passing of Comrade Nasipho. I'm sure we all heard about it. Honorable Olive.
Thank you, Chairperson. I just want to support my colleague here by just saying I think that my suggestion is that those recommendations under 5. That we ask that they be put in our program for the first term, when we consider the program for the year, that we ask for these three briefings to be done in our program of action, so that it doesn't get forgotten. This is what the previous parliament suggested that we investigate, so maybe we can call for those three as a report from the department, and then we put it in our annual program, so that there are specific committees allocated to them to come and brief us. Because this is from the legacy report, and it's not in the budget report, it's the legacy report, and I think maybe we should consider those. They can come and tell us what they did about the ICT equipment and about the Shamjuka project and so on.
Yes,
Chair,
I think
that
we can
a recommendation for the department to come and brief us, which is fine. We will take that into consideration. However, I think from the side of the writers of the report, they should be able to give us what the last parliament or fourth parliament has been so that if we decide to call the department later on, at least we have used the information that is in our disposal. Any further of Moteka, Honorable Moteka.
Thank you, Chair. I think the key challenges that emerged, I just want to know if they still remain the challenges, because they are very key, as they said. Inadequate resources for executing the mandate of the Department of Labor. If this is not tackled and solved, that means it's still going to have a problem. And if the department cannot execute the function due to them, then it's going to be a very big challenge again. So maybe we can hear if they were resolved or they are still there, then we discuss what to do. Including the last one, the violent strikes in the farming and in the mining sector. What are we planning to do as a committee to resolve that? Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Moteka. I'm sure content advisor and your colleague in all these areas where you have highlighted challenges, it would be really advisable if you have information of intervention everywhere, your fishing industry, there are things, all these things that you have raised as challenges, just to look at them and just tell us what interventions have been made, because we don't want to go there and be told that we have done this with the previous members. So we must be seen as people taking over smoothly and understand what has been done. And if you know that nothing, because definitely when the department refers, there are documents that they give, there are reports that are made by the committee. If they are available, please let the members have them in each and every item that you have identified as a challenge. And where it does not exist, or where the department did not come, it will also be easy for us to say to the department as well that there is nothing in front of us. And we know that in the previous parliament as well, fourth term, you did not respond to this. I think that's the gist of us wanting to know what has been done, what has not been done, what is that we need to pursue, to what extent. Thank you. And yes, Honorable Magisha.
No, thanks, yeah. That which you have raised is very important. And I think, yes, indeed, I want to support that they should take that into consideration, and we need to get the report. Exactly what the Honorable Chair is saying. I want to add that as you come back to give us the report, tell us as well what is happening with this thing of dialogue broker. Because we have in the country, as you know, very, very serious problems. And without doubt, I believe you too know that the high unemployment rate, etc., etc., whether it's in the public service today or in the private sector, that is truly growing. Look into that. Come and tell us so that we then can be able to move to deal with that kind of horrendous problem that our country is today facing. Thank you.
I'm sure you are asking as to how the legislation has been crafted after all the deliberations have been done, because I think there were public hearings I've seen it here that were conducted, and I know that you were part of them. Maybe you want to hear the final product, to be reminded about the final product in terms of the law. Am I capturing you correctly?
All the issues you have raised is correct.
Okay.
Because on the 8th, we have gone on to check, as you are saying. It is actually happening, it is growing today. And then we have more and more problems. I believe you understand. Now, to therefore say, yes, we have assessed, yes, we have made the proposals, but then the actual implementation, what is it that actually happening? So that as we go on with the budget, etc., that may be taken into consideration. It's becoming super serious. Okay?
Thank you, Chair. I'll want to take the question. And after taking the questions, before the response of the assistant staff, I will give an opportunity to the legal rep for the committee. She's here. But let us round this part. Any more questions on what has been presented? None. Oh, sorry. Is your hand up there? Okay. No. Thank you. Over to you, Ms. Gordon. We just want to get some information from a professional person in that field as to what we know that we are told in this report that we should follow up the certain legislations, amendments that have been made, just to brief us so that when we follow up, we at least have an idea of what has been done or what is expected of us, listening to what you'll be telling us. Thank you for coming. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair, and good morning to Chair and honourable members. For the members who do not know me, I'm Angela Gordon. I am affiliated to Parliament within the Parliamentary Legal Services Office. My role to the committee chair is to support the committee in respect of legislation. And during the tenure of the 4th Parliament, there were various pieces, various bills before the committee, and all bills except one came to a stage where it was finalised. The four bills that I believe is on page 6 of the slides prepared by my colleague are the Labour Relations Amendment Act, the Basic Conditions of Employment Amendment Act, the Employment Equity Amendment Act, and the Employment Services Act of 1990. All those pieces of legislation have been signed by the President, and they are intended to come into operation within the next couple of months. I think my most up-to-date information with the Department of Labour in this regard is that the Labour Relations Amendment Act and the Employment Services have not been set, given a date for the coming into operation. The Department's knowledge was that the basic conditions of employment and I think the employment equity were supposed to, they were anticipating that it was supposed to come into operation on 1 July. I haven't followed that up, and so I cannot speak with authority in that regard, but I will take that up with the Department as soon as this meeting is done. Coming back to the fifth bill that was before the committee during the tenure of the 4th Parliament was the Unemployment Insurance Fund Amendment Bill. The bill was introduced at a very late stage in March, just before the 4th Parliament was due to rise. That being said, the Unemployment Insurance Fund also had various challenges from a constitutional perspective. In our office, within the legal services parameter, we perform a process called tagging, which in all respects is to ensure that a bill is certified to follow a certain procedure within Parliament. My tagging on the bill was that the Unemployment Insurance Fund Amendment Bill was constitutionally out of order. What that basically meant was that we found that there were provisions in the bill that related to what is contained in Section 77 of the Constitution, money bills, which only the Minister of Finance may introduce. Because the UIF Amendment Bill was introduced by the Honourable Minister of Labour, we then ruled the bill constitutionally out of order, and the bill could not proceed. So even though the bill was introduced late in March, the bill was still constitutionally out of order and therefore did not proceed. Chairperson, we anticipate that this is one of the bills that's going to face with this Parliament. As the Secretariat, my colleagues are away. We had a meeting with the Department of Labour after the fourth Parliament adjourned on the instructions of the Honourable Minister of Labour as well as the former Speaker of the National Assembly to iron out the problems on the constitutionality of the bill. That meeting has taken place, and so we anticipate that if the bill is reintroduced in the first Parliament, that those issues will be sorted and the bill will be ready to proceed, constitutionally proceed in Parliament. So that will anticipate will possibly be coming when the Department is ready to introduce that bill. However, turning back to the four pieces of legislation that did come to finality before Parliament, I think the most contentious was indeed the Labour Relations Amendment Act and predominantly what is referred to as 188, the Labour Broking, in terms of the LRA. Those provisions have all been finalised. They are in the Amendment Act, and as soon as a date is set for that legislation to come into operation, it will then take effect. To some extent, it's designed to reshape the landscape of labour broking, and what it anticipates is to place a limit on the time that a labour broker, a temporary employment service, is allowed to employ somebody in the confines of a temporary employment setup, and that is capped to 3 months. However, I should also say that it only applies to below the threshold employees. So in terms of Basic Conditions of Employment Act, Section 6.3, when the Minister annually sets the threshold, it only applies to employees that are earning below the threshold set by the Minister annually in terms of Section 6.3. If an employee earns above the threshold, the amendments in the Labour Relations Amendment Act do not apply. I don't know if there are any other issues, Chair, that members would like clarity on. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Gordon. Members, that input or unpacking what is in front of us? Questions? Honourable Bafrain.
Thank you, Ms. Gordon. It's good of you to come and give us that briefing. I appreciate it. It puts us in the picture, at least. There obviously is still a chance for the President to hold it back, all those pieces of legislation and amendments, if he wants to make further changes, or there appears to be one or other of the other ministers asking for further changes, I presume.
Is that a question? Okay, Honourable Lollywood.
Thanks, Chair. Because we are a new committee, then the Labour person will be in a position to flag the areas of changes even from the LRA so that the committee can be on board. So I just want to make a proposal that such a presentation should be made, even with the bills that are still being handled. Will be taken through so that when they are taken to Parliament, we are on board.
Ms. Gordon?
Thank you, Chair. The president holding back on legislation. I think we have to look at it from a legal perspective, Chair. All the four pieces of legislation referred to in the slide are out of Parliament's jurisdiction. Those bills have been finalised, they have been enacted. Any changes that are made to that legislation would have to proceed in terms of an amendment bill before Parliament, which means that the Minister has to take that amendment to Cabinet. It has to be JR159 in Parliament, which is our joint rules procedure, and then it has to be referred to the committee and it will be dealt with as an amendment bill. Of course, I cannot speak for the President. If the President just decides not to bring those amendments into operation, that's the President's prerogative. But that we would have to wait on and see what the President's decision is in that regard. The second issue, Chair, about the possible presentation on the pieces of legislation, I would willingly oblige the committee in that regard. Obviously, my presence here this morning, I was unaware that that is what the committee expected, but if that is the instruction, Chair, for you, we would be most willing to oblige in that regard to do a future presentation.
Thank you. There are no hands. So I think we will give you an opportunity to go back and then they will inform you as to when they will be slotting you in our program so that I agree with her. You must understand and unpack as you correctly done with the bill that you say it's was unconstitutional and maybe go into details what is it that makes it unconstitutional without just saying Section 77 and all that at this stage. So thank you so much. We are done with you. Thank you. Let's then go back to the legacy report. And you can then respond to the questions and concerns that have been raised by members. Any one of you, as you told the committee that you own the report, so you are all well versed about what is in this report. I don't mind who answers. I don't think the members mind who answers the question. Over to you.
Honorable members, on the question of the oversight report to the fishing industry, there is an oversight report which is going to be forwarded to members. And then on the question of the EOH staff, it ties in with the ICT strategy and the department did a presentation on the on ICT strategy and the progress regarding the ICT strategy. So I think then we just need to get the report of the department to the previous committee, because there is a report that they did in front before the committee. And then on whether the key challenges, on the key challenges that were identified, most of the challenges revolve around the resources, and as you know, the resources like usually a constant challenge is like competing demand for resources. So yeah, I think there will be challenges that we still have to contend with. Yeah, I don't know if my colleagues would like to come in.
Thank you and good morning, Raymond. I would like to concur with my colleague, the content advisor, on the fact that the reports, whatever reports that is within the right of the committee to can call for further briefings on that. But whatever briefings and presentation that we have already had will be forwarded to the members. Thank you very much.
You kindly should pardon me for my spirit. So, we're dealing with the budget here. Okay? And as I'm saying, some of those areas, it is labor brokers and so on and so on, and others, that you say shall be presented. How do we then go on with the issues of, you know, finalizing the budget proposals, etc., without looking at them? Because, like I'm saying, well, you know, anyway, Chairperson, there are very serious problems out there, and those problems will not end today unless we look into them. And people have got to wait. People's hands are being exploited, etc. You know better than I do. So that truly is a problem that we should look at. Are we able to have this thing finalized without having gotten all the basic information? As you indicated, my colleagues here have indicated, we're a new committee, and you see the trade union movement out there. You see the people who are not working. They're complaining on a daily basis. And here, who are seated representing those poor people who are not working, all these kinds of problems. And we're finalizing here the issue of the budget. I do say, as I said, as we have agreed here, that the legal person will come and brief us. Maybe the person will come and brief us after 3 months, 6 months, whatever. And then tomorrow, as we have this thing, we've got to say we've moved forward with this thing of pushing the budget proposal. Can you correct me if I'm wrong? But like I'm saying, to me, this is a major, major problem.
Thank you, Honorable Matisha, Honorable Mantashe, then Honorable Loli, Honorable Mantashe, Honorable Moteka,
thank you,
and then Honorable Loli.
I am with you that we, as members of this committee, are supposed to come up with proposals to resolve the things we need. I don't think the chair has the question, the answer we need. I would suggest that we come up with those proposals, because we all know that when we met the department last week, chair, we realized that the biggest challenge of the department is the enforcement of the legislation that has been enacted. So I propose that we come up with suggestions to resolve the problem and not expect the chair to bring the solutions to us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think Honorable Mandashi is correct. The Chair cannot provide solutions on the proposals we have included. And I'm going to say, let us get those briefings. Then we know what happened and what didn't happen. Then we can know what to propose. For now, you cannot just propose not knowing what others did before you. So it is a very key to go through what they have done, more especially on resolving the issues of violence, drugs, and terrorism. This is the key on our portfolio as Department of Labor. It's very key. We cannot put it aside, and we have to deal with it before
assisting with other things. Thank you.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I think the presentation by the legal advisor should not be confused that we are going to amend the law that is in place. He indicated that this state that is outside of the parliament. So the proposal to say she must come and present was to equip us so that as we deal with the challenges that have been cited, we are moving from an informed position without violating existing law. So I don't think it can be a barrier to the to us proceeding with the budget vote, the presentation. So we should proceed.
I think it is department. The department tried their best, whether in some cases we are not satisfied, but we will not say they did not attempt to answer the questions. And these questions that are presented as challenges, most of them have been spoken to by the department. However, we are parliamentarians, and I think we should have been given this information in advance. The one that is in your position, Mr. Ngobo, because on the issues of the violent strikes that are there, I think we should not, as a committee of labor, we should be fully aware of what is taking place there. But we have a different role to play. The department and ourselves, we are doing oversight. We must ensure that the work that the department is mandated to do, they are doing them to the latter. And where they have challenges of enforcement, as we have been told, and other challenges, as parliament, we must come in and assist. The violent side, I think the labor movement must deal with that. It's not that the department or parliament that will go there and tell the workers that how you conduct your strike. Because I should think that if the union leaders know exactly what they are doing, they have a responsibility to talk to workers and tell them how they should conduct themselves during the strike. As members of parliament, we can't take that responsibility. Neither will we allow the labor movement to outsource that responsibility to us. So I think we must make a difference. I mean, we must understand the difference. We have to look, when these strikes are taking place, we must check, looking at the labor laws that we have come up to as this parliament, and see what has not been enforced, so that the Department of Labor deals with that, and ourselves, we see to it that Department of Labor does that. So I think as we talk about the violent strikes and the labor unrest, we should know exactly where do we fit in as members of parliament, so that we are not seen fumbling, and give the correct advice where it's necessary. We will call the department where we need, we think we need further input, as it has been suggested. But we need this input from you. I assume that you are not going back to us from the department what is that you said. I'm under impression that the committee of parliament has that information in its ICANN, because you will be, all we are asking from you is what we have done as members, our colleagues have done the interventions, so that we are in a position to interact with the department or whoever, any other stakeholders that are involved in this issue, including your fishing industries and many other industries that we will be calling. But we don't really want to be. Any further questions? Pardon me. I press when I'm not supposed to be pressing. It's accidental. Any more questions? No further questions. So we are then done with the legacy report with the outstanding issues. Give them deadline members, because that's the information that we have. I think in the program that we'll have after the budget vote, it will be important that you bring that information to us before that, so that we can deal with it before we interact with the stakeholders and further call the department in front of us. So it's a priority. Can we then move to these recommendations of the committee to the budget vote of labor? So I suggest that we read it will be read to us. Since we did not have time to look through it, it's not a long thing. As they are reading, you will be able to say, we are not comfortable with that, this is what we are comfortable with, until we go to the last page.
vote 18. Labour on the strategic plans of the Department of Labour, that is 2014 to 2019, and its entities dated 10 July 2014. The Portfolio Committee on Labour, having considered budget vote 18, Labour and the strategic plans of the Department of Labour 2014 to 2019 and its entities report as follows. The introduction. In terms of the Public Finance Management Act number 1 of 1999, accounting officers must provide Parliament or relevant legislature with their respective institutions' medium-term strategic plan, that is the MTFP, and where applicable, with its annual performance plan, that is the APP. The budget vote, the budget and strategic plans of the Department of Labour and its entities were tabled in Parliament in February and March 2014, respectively. Since 2014 was an election year, the DOL submitted revised strategic and annual performance plans to Parliament and were referred to the Portfolio Committee on Labour for consideration and report. In performing its constitutional mandate, the committee scrutinized the alignment of the of strategic plans 2014 to 2019 of the DOL and its entities, taking into account the following: the State of the Nation address, government priorities and key policies to develop programs, National Development Plan, the NDP, and the New Growth Path, that is the NGP. The above fundamental principles serve as government's underlying program of action. The committee wanted to establish whether the funds allocated would help transform programs to actual service delivery within the workplace and especially to protect vulnerable workers. The Money Bills Amendment Procedure and Related Matters Act No. 9 of 2009 grants Parliament the power to either reject or recommend budgets of departments.
I don't know how you suggest, members, whether you want this to be read up to the last page or as they are reading, if there are any corrections that you want to make, any kind of corrections or additions or rearrangement of the sentences or paragraphs, anything that, because this will go out as our committee recommendation. So that's why I said earlier on, we must look through this and listen carefully and come up with suggestions so that tomorrow we own it, or it's not here, we own it. Honorable Mantasa?
Thank you. I just want to recall whether we have the capacity to amend this document in as far as the budget amount is serving different to the presentation of the department. We are told that it was something that was presented to Parliament earlier on when we were not here.
Honorable, just put up your mic, Ms. Santasha. Honorable Olive.
Sorry, Chair, I think there's just some confusion. The big one is the one that was presented by the previous Parliament. This one, I assume, is the one that's been drafted now by the Department for us to use. And I think my suggestion in response to your question, Chair, is that what we do is we discuss it today as a basis and suggest our amendments and changes and all that. And then the Department can, the committee sessions can go and type changes and tomorrow bring us the one to approve. Is that in order?
That's the plan. Honorable Mandasha, he is right. We don't usually say the same thing, but he's right. Because this is done for us comment that you want to make on this thing we can? Okay, yourself, and then it is the Honorable Nkwana. And we are only dealing with this paragraph that has been read. We'll go down. Later when we get to where you are now. Okay. Honorable Hollis, we've just all the members, do you want to talk anywhere and make changes, or you want this page to be? Guide me so that I don't waste your time. You are responding on this issue. And Honorable Nkwana as well. Okay, yourself first.
I think if we're dealing with it case by case, it would be much better. It might not be sentence by sentence or way by way. Because I'm taking it that members now have seen it, will be able to say on page one that this kind of so that we do justice to it. The other issue is that the author, I'm sure it's the researcher, should as well be able to assist us in terms of this area when they make presentations, when they will be presented, as opposed to
should be real. sentence, or we are comfortable with the sentence it is. There's one proposal that it should not, that is viewing the question in a form, this statement in a form of a question. Any, Natasha?
Consider the inflation that is actually decreased, the budget has decreased.
nominal terms, it has increased by 3.3%, but then in real terms, considering the inflation, it has actually decreased by 2%. So, yeah, that's in the budget. That's page 2. Thank you.
Yeah, any questions on this figure?
Chair, on my part, I want to check what influenced the drop on the area of inspection and enforcement, because throughout we have been expressing concern that we are unable to go and inspect and we are unable to enforce the pieces of legislation and compliance by the various stakeholders. The last one is I want to be schooled on the two English names, the career interest and the actual one, the two terms that are used interchangeably there. What does that mean?
Yes, are you able to explain to us the reasons for the decrease in the areas where we think we need more money and then the terms that are referred to by the members?
Yes.
I hope, guys, you are writing all what these members are raising, because we are not going to sit here 3 days. We are coming tomorrow, and sizakulandela because we corner. Honorable Olive.
Inspection and enforcement service.
so and so. We know she's because there was no explanation given. That's why we have it there. We did not want to be conclusive when we come to that section. And because if there's an explanation, maybe we may reach another conclusion. We did not want to assume, so we still maintain, can we be clarified at this point before we go there? It's only if we are unable to get an explanation that we can make that conclusion.
Do you want to say something before I say something? Do you?
Yes, sir. It's just a bit, I think, some of the details in terms of this document are out just to make it more of a committee report, but the budget analysis document, I think it expands a little bit more. But I know that from the department's document, there is a cabinet discussion for departments to reduce expenditure from their programs. So I think from each program of the department, there was a budget cut somehow, and also some requirements in terms of or shift in funding to accommodate the cabinet directive for cutting expenditures. So maybe that's why you get you see this program in particular, the IES, where you see a cut in.
I think we can ask. One of the moments I remember, we did ask this question from the department, particularly on the cut on the inspectorate. And I still remember the question was the treasurer, and the following question was, does not the treasury consult with the executive before they cut? And the answer was, but if the money is allocated and have not been used for some time, they cut. What we said to the department is that it's clear that when they asked for that funding for the inspectorate, they were not ready to use it. So this time, I remember that I said to the acting DG, you should be ready. When you ask for more money, you should be ready, because once they see that you are not using it, they are going to cut it. So as Lucinda is saying, the treasury looks around and sees where the money is not used, they cut across. It is them. So I think it's fair that we should ask for more money, but then the department must tell us how they are going to use that money, so that we don't ask for more money and they don't use it. They must be ready. In fact, I did say they must come up with a plan of how this money is going to be used, so that we can also pay them. We can say it as we in those recommendations, but also I'm sure we can speak to the appropriations committee, meet with them, and then tell them this is how we feel about the budget of the Department of Labor, more especially in certain areas where we think that the money must be added. So I think then the inputs of the members are valid. We will be there to monitor them and see that they are using it. Any more questions, members? Honorable Mateka?
Thanks, Chair. I'm supporting you by saying during the presentation, we were told that they are struggling with ICT issues, even on the legal report, it came out as a challenge. could do the enforcement of compliance or inspections due to lack of human resources and all that. So, but now, if it is cut, it means we are not going to make any positive progress or production or whatever in this term. So, hence I'm supporting you that the money should be increased, but we also have to do our part to make sure that the department is using this money and is accounting to the money. Thank you.
Thank you, members. I think we are all on the same understanding. We want more money for the Department of Labor, more especially on the inspectorate. And we will commit that we will ensure that the department is using that money. In fact, we want a plan. How are they going to use the money as soon as this money is allocated to them? Questions on?
We have covered the whole issue. Or are there any issues that you think you can go to page? What's the next? It's 222 or.
We are well done with 222 as well. Eh? The compliance monitoring and enforcement. Are we? Okay.
Chair President, the sound on wording for that 2.2.2 is what we're actually going to say.
Come again.
I think we are we in agreement that we must put a note in 2.2.2 to say there's not enough money for the inspectors and that it will be added by the the research.
Yes. But we are going fair that because the money has been cut for non-usage, we are going further to say we want the department to give us a plan so that we are sure that this money is going to be used. Two-point program, public employment service. Or am I jumping? Do you want to say something on IT? I think we're on page, I don't know the pages, I'm not the same. Are we done with the 2.2.2? So we are on 2.2.3. Are we there? Honorable.
Yes, we are there, Chair, but it's not taking out correcting any typing error or whatever which we might pick up. We should feel free to send it to Zolani to face before they bring the report on the narrative, but this is what we have picked up.
Let's do it.
No, I'm saying instead of reading administration, we can before the end of business today submit that so that it doesn't have to come tomorrow. We are having the final report.
Okay. Agreed, members. So this is anything that we have picked up, members, on that? Go through it very quickly.
Page 5, that is 2.2.3, public employment services. During the 2014-2015 financial year, the public employment 466.5 million. This is a nominal increase of 66.4 million from the previous financial year, whereas in real terms it is a 39.2 million increase. In real percentage terms, this is an increase of 9.7%. The biggest program percentage share of 29.8% is allocated to the Sheltered Employment Factory, the SEF. For the medium term period, the focus of this PEF program will be on enhancing the department's capacity to implement the Employment Services Bill once it is promulgated, and on managing the implementation of the turnaround strategy for the SEF. Over the MTF, this program received additional funds of 83.4 million through the reprioritization of funds from spending on compensation of employees in the inspection and enforcement services program to spending on compensation of employees in this program. So that's the payment of inspectors. The reprioritization is to fund the occupation-specific dispensation for career counselors from 1st April 2014 and improve conditions of services. A total of 15.9 million over the MTF has also been reprioritized within spending on goods and services from communication, property payments, and travel and subsistence to provide employment services projects. The Work Seeker Services Sub-Program budget has increased by 7.9% in real terms. This will assist the sub-program's focus to increase the number of work seekers registered and facilitate access to employment and income-generating opportunities. The sub-program receives 24 million for improved conditions of service over the MTF from the reprioritization from spending on compensation of employees in the administration program.
Members. It means why I agree. Page 5. Program 4, Labor Policy. That's what I'm missing.
At the bottom of page 5, that's Labor Policy and Investment Relations Program. The Labor Policy and Industrial Relations Program receives 859.9 million during the 2014-2015 financial year. This is a nominal increase of 13.7% from the previous financial year. However, in real percentage terms, it is a 7% increase. A total of 78.99% was transferred to the CNA, amounting to 687.1 million during the current financial year. This is consistent with the focus on promoting sound labor relations, with a particular emphasis on the resolution of the industrial action and the reduction of tensions and violence in the labor market. In the 2013 budget, the Commission was allocated additional funds to address increasing caseloads arising from amendments to the labor laws, the rollout of the work-based case management system, expansion of access to dispute resolution services, as well as job saving units. I think these are all issues that were raised during the presentation. Other increases include the Labor Market Information and Statistics sub-program with a budget allocation of 36.5 million rand. That is a nominal increase of 2.2 million rand and a nominal percentage change of 6.3%. However, in real terms, it is a 0.1% change. A significant budget increase also went to the International Labour Matters that facilitates bilateral and multilateral cooperation between the department and its partners internationally to exchange information and best practices on labour market issues. A total of 33.9 million was allocated to this program during the 2014-2015 financial year. This is a 6.9 million increase, which translates into 23.7% nominal increase in the budget. In real terms, it is a 16.5 percentage change. The National Economic Development and Labour Council Network received a total budget of 28.1 million during the 2014-2015 financial year. This is a nominal increase of 1.8 million rand when compared with the previous financial years. This is a nominal percentage change of 6.8%. In real terms, it is a 0.65 percent change.
Input, comments, Honorable Olive.
Thanks, Chair. If you look at this, and up to here we've got good figures in the report, but here's where the figures start to get a bit jumbled, and from here on, most categories I'm going to make the same comment. What we don't know from these numbers is what the increase is in the 2014 budget for the CCMA. That number is missing. What we see is that in the 2013 budget, they received additional funds. We know what the percentage of the total budget this year is that the CCMA is getting, but we don't know if that's an increase or a decrease. We only know that the total Labour Policy and Industrial Relations Program budget has gone up. But how much has the CCMA budget changed? The number's missing, because that entity's amount should be in the report saying it went up by 5% or not. You can see that it's done for Nedlac. If you look down to the last paragraph, it shows you in this financial year, this is a nominal increase of 1.8. Why don't we have the figure for the CCMA there too? We should. And it carries on. I won't do it now, but if you look later in the compensation under UIF, I'll make the same comment. They don't tell us what the increase or the decrease is for the compensation fund in the UIF. And I think that's important to know. As a committee, we should know that that number is. Because if they're all going up, maybe that's good or not, I don't know. But if some are coming down, we as a committee should be able to highlight that. And if it's okay, it's fine. If it's not okay and there's no explanation, then we should be highlighting that. So if we can get that number, the CCMA number here, and then I'll make the comment later in the paragraphs for compensation by the UIF, it's not we. Also, the figure's missing. I think we as a committee need to know that figure. I'm sure it's in the budget, but I think we should put it in our report as well, so that when we approve the report, we are aware of what's happening, and it's not just somewhere in that secret book that we haven't actually interrogated.
Well, thank you, Honorable Olive. Are you, Honorable, do you want to, are you saying something?
No,
sure. We are anticipating.
No, Chair, I was actually saying it would be addressed because if it flows, it must flow. And if it doesn't flow, at least at best we must be able to be brief. No, it doesn't flow any longer because of this. We don't have the CCMA budget because of this. But the good thing is to maintain consistency and also the truth.
Okay, meaning that the logic is being supported. So we should then, we should be in a position to get that information, because I don't think we should write it. I think after, as they are saying, once we get that information, then we'll be in a position to comment. Almost said that.
I, Yeah, the information is available. The nominal percentage increase of the CCMA budget was 15.59% or 15.6%, and the real percentage increase was 8.4%. In monetary terms, nominal was 92.7 million and real was 52.6 million. Thank you. But we are going to incorporate the information into the report.
So you are covered. So there is no issue that is arising in the report. Okay. Okay.
not the correct one. I'm putting this by aside. So the correct one will be 2.3 on recommendations.
Let us sponsor items to be in this one.
all agree on that?
Chairperson, that's fine. It doesn't matter which way we do it. I'm quite happy to go along with that. We can use the report that everybody's got as our standard one.
Mm-hmm.
And then my request is that we put in a section on there that is similar to the one that is here in the final version. And I can argue that at the end. We can put it at the end or something.
When did you get this report, Honorable Policy, from me, ask this one, the one that does not look the same with the others?
Jefferson is provided by you. It's okay. My personal. So
when was it? Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I just wanted that one. Thank you, but okay. Honorable Taker.
Thank you, sir. I think we were continuing smoothly and until Honorable Hollis comes something that some of us even have. So in the meantime, I think the staff can go and find us the ones that we are missing, so that when we get to that point, we know what we're discussing about. But for now, let us continue because the progress was smooth and just good. Thank you.
Okay, we all agree. Thank you, Honorable Motega. We all agree that we'll continue with this thing, and the part that does not appear, you can read it for us so that the members can hear it. The part from the draft. Okay. Hmm? Want to explain?
Yes, I wanted to explain the difference between the difference because initially I sent the first draft, which was on Monday. And then I couldn't meet with Zolani and Spini on the day. So after the discussion that I had with Spini yesterday, we made some amendments. And then after amending the first draft, I then resent the amended draft to Pusha and said to Pusha, could you ask the members to ignore first draft that was provided to them because there are some changes that were now made in the final draft. So this is the draft that must be distributed and must be considered by members for adoption. So that is the latest draft, the draft without the NDT. That is the latest. Because after a discussion that we had, we thought that it was, it's coming from the template that was provided to me by Zolani that we have to use for the budget report. So the template that they used last year at the NDT section, but now we thought this was not relevant now because this was referring to the matters of the 2012-18 for the financial year. So we removed it. This is not in the final version that we have that we need to consider now for adoption. So that is
in other words, it was considered in 2012-13 recommendations.
So the NDT is now out of the final version that we have.
Members, we should accept the explanation because I think we all understand how we should be understanding. Honorable Rodin.
Jefferson, are we having the discussion about that section now, or are we going to come back to it after we finish this report? Because I can have the discussion now, or I can have the discussion at the end. It's up to you.
No, because we want to. I think you should, because you want to focus on the one that they are saying is final, and listening to what they are saying, the confusion came as a result of miscommunication amongst themselves. So my understanding, these are drafts that they are alleging they send it to everybody. And then eventually they came up with this one and they are saying this NDP that we don't see here is because it has been considered already in the previous financial year, and in the template it does not exist. So we will be like taking things that way in the template of that financial year where that was dealt with by other people when we were not here. So that's the story. So they're following the template.
Okay.
You want to say something on that?
Yes.
Okay.
Jefferson, I accept the explanation. Sometimes these things happen. I don't have any problem with that. And I'm quite happy for us to use the final version as the template. But I'm not happy with having no reference to the NDP in the final document. And the reason I'm not happy about that is this. Templates don't matter to this committee. What matters to this committee is governance, delivery, service delivery, labor laws, and that.
discussed on this issue, let's just read that part that the others don't have and then include it here. We'll read it and then the members can comment on it. If they want to change, make some changes, we'll listen to that, but it will be, I suggest that it must be added on this final document so that it's part of our recommendations. Members who do not have space is going to be read, don't be fast, so that everybody hears you.
Thank you, Chair. The part reads as follows. The National Development Plan, NDP. According to the National Development Plan, one of the key elements in accelerating the more inclusive growth is to ensure that the labor market improves on its performance to reduce tension and ease access to young and skilled work seekers. In its analysis, the NDP identifies the following challenges: low levels of competition for goods and services, large numbers of work seekers who cannot enter the labor market, low savings and poor skills profile. It further argues that uncompetitive labor markets keep new entrants out and skew the economy towards high skills and high productivity sector. The NDP's 2030 vision for employment and growth includes a fall in the strict unemployment rate from 25% to 14% in 2020 and to 6% in 2030. B, a rise in the labor force participation rate from 54% in 2010 to 65%. And C, about 11 million additional jobs by 2030. In order to achieve these targets, the rate of investment in gross domestic product GDP is expected to rise from 17% to 30% by 2030. The real GDP will have to more than double, that is average growth of 5.4% between 2011 and 2030. Thank you.
Honorable Mateka.
Thank you. I must express my disappointment about this. What happened? Because we were proceeding well on 2.3 just before we can even do the inputs on it. There came an issue of NDP missing, of which the communication was very clear from the staff on all the through the emails that said, ignore this. This is the one that we're going to use. So now here we are treating an input of Mr. Ollis in especially because we don't even have the handouts. We don't even have. So now we really need that we can even just read for them so that they can be partially be part of it. I'm really not happy. Okay.
So, Honorable Mocheka, members. Honorable Lolly, your hand was up.
Chair, I want to indicate that when we are talking about doing a trial, it can be up to 20 trials, but ultimately we have a final one. On the issue we are discussing, that hope is not going to create a precedent that will be referred to a draft when we are dealing with the final document. front end of that paragraph, it talks to the creation of jobs, of which all of us are concerned about. We can only include it on that basis, but we want to make it clear, it is not going to be the order of the day, that we are taken back to a draft. Especially that here, it is only honorable only through having that document. Because all of us who brought the final document, because we are referring to the final document. Thank you.
Any more comments, members? Thank you. Honorable,
thank you very much for handling this matter. There's no problem about the content of the paragraph. The problem is why others have, others don't have. But in terms of what you have been read there, there's nothing wrong. I share the same view with my wife that it should not be how we're going to do things. The trust must remain a trust. Wherever it remains, it must just be there. Because if that would be the trend, it will always be a challenge and it will create a suspicion of some kind. It will create a suspicion and it will also create inconsistency in terms of how we do our work. So I think in future it should not happen in any way. It's unfortunate that it happened that way, whereby all of us were sitting with documents. But the others are having first and second issues. And it is not clear. The explanation is given, yes, we hear it, but as to why the draft was only in one page or two page quotes out of 8-9 members. But as we are saying, it should not have happened in the first place, and it should not happen as how we do it, because it might create further problems.
Honorable America.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I hear what the members are saying with regard to that particular paragraph. I beg to differ from Honorable Clayham in the sense that since the NDP had been accepted as policy of the first parliament of the governing party, this committee and all these entities and other committees and various departments that resort under them should align all their work with the NDP. And I think all our departments, whatever they do, should be premised on the objectives of the NDP. So therefore, I think that it is very relevant that we should have it contained in our budget documents, that we should evaluate all the departments and their programs in the contents of the objectives of the NDP. Because if we're not going to do that, we are not going to achieve the objectives of the NDP. Thank you. Thank you.
I just hope that your honorable Oteka, you don't want to respond, you have another issue, because I will not allow that dialogue to take place in the committee. And everybody, all the members have the right to talk and And we're not going to talk things that we are going to agree with each other all the time. So I think the sentiments that have been raised in relation to this part that was omitted in the final draft, all the members who have spoken, they have expressed one thing, that with the content, the content of that paragraph is accepted, and they then expressed what is that they are not happy with. It's noted. It is not going to happen again. I don't want to say to talk further about this document. All the documents that go out to you, to the members, are the documents of the committee. And I have a right, because at the end of the day, I'm the third person who must own what has gone out with you. So to have that draft as a chairperson, there's nothing wrong. However, the issue is what all the members are raising, that they have not seen this document. How it landed in one pigeonhole instead to all members of parliament, that's something that we must deal with. And I think I don't want to talk more about this document, because Honorable Ollis has a right to treat this as a final document, because in that document there's nothing that is written a draft. That's why, yeah, I don't want to go into details. I have a problem with the fact that it landed on his pigeonhole only, instead of to all members. But to have it as part of our recommendations, we all agree. So I don't think we should really make this thing a big thing. We know where we disagree, and we know where we agree. So I think the majority of members, they support that this must go in as part of our recommendations. And I would want to close this matter on that, so that there are no further discussions on it. Can we then pass?
We're just dealing with the part on 2.3, page
okay.
6, yes, on recommendations, and I think we're just waiting for you, Chair, and members to make comments on those recommendations.
But to your members on the recommendations, that's your 2.3. Honorable Wateka.
Number G, it says ensuring that the department strives to reduce the vacancy rate to a generally accepted standard. I don't think it's the right way to measure anyone by a generally accepted standard. You need to know what is the standard. How are we going to say it is done up to standard or not? It is just general.
Why don't you suggest how it should be written, instead of answering these standards? I think members what is being raised in D, which can thus rephrase it. Anybody can rephrase it and really that English of accepted standards. We don't talk about accepted standards when we talk about reducing. Anybody wants to come in on this? Ensuring that the department tries to reduce the vacancy rates to a general accepted standard, acceptable standard. That's one issue that has been raised. Anyone who wants to assist with the formulation, Honorable Ollis?
Chairperson,
we are on the recommendation.
Yeah, there isn't actually anything wrong with the English.
Mm.
The problem that I would foresee there is in terms of holding the department to account. When we had briefings on the BRR or BRRR or whatever it's called, you remember last year, they said to us one of the problems that the Parliament sees as an institution with reports is that they never put a number. They just refer to a general something something, and then the department can be good or bad. But you can't really say they were good or bad because there isn't a number. So the English is fine, actually, for me anyway. If I read it, it makes sense to me. But because it doesn't say to 10% or 20% or 50%, the department can really do whatever they want, and we can't come back and say they didn't listen to us, because generally acceptable for the researcher and the content advisor might be two different ideas, and for me it might be a different idea, and for the ANC it might be a different idea. So the English I think is fine. I would have rather, instead of putting generally accepted standard, I would say to a maximum of 5% or some number. I don't know what the appropriate number is, but the minute you say general, oh, anybody can do anything with general.
This vacancy rate that you are talking about, I would think that you are talking about the funded vacancies in the department. Is this what we want to say, that we should, the department must strive to reduce the vacancy to a generally accepted standard? We are members of Parliament. If the department can write this, they can write this. It suits them. But what is that you want in terms of the funded vacant post in the department? Honorable Lodiwa.
Chair, the first one is we must do away with the strike fund, because we are giving them a new way. They'll come back and say we've been trying, but they couldn't. Instead, we say ensure that the department fills all vacant funded posts.
Thank you,
Honorable. And then Honorable Nguane? Yeah, sure, thanks.
On this?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because on the same recommendation, 3.2.3C, it says ensuring that the vacant funded posts are advertised and filled in compliance with the public. Fine. And it looks like it deals with the things which we want.
members are testing. Honorable Hans Kaple.
Thank you, Chair. Taking into account everything that has been said, I want to make a proposal that on C it says ensuring that all vacant funded posts are advertised and posted in compliance with public service principles, but then we said we should delete the because it, everything has been said in C. Thank you.
Okay. For more checker? That proposal, the proposal for deleting C and D, yeah, and take C as it is, or with addition, as it is. That, yeah. Okay. Honorable.
I think public service. Fiskit is not going to cover the number Honorable Olis was talking about. It's going to cover the fairness of applications and all other things. But we're talking here about the standard of their government. So if you delete that one, that means you add the number on C.
Okay, members, I think we understand what is being proposed. Honorable Motheka is amending that proposal, not that it is agreeing with it, is amending it that we must add. Honorable Loliwe.
Chair, I support the view that we need to delete it. If we attach numbers to three, it is not going to serve the purpose. Because if we leave free as it is now, it means every time a post is created in a vacant funded position, that must be filled in. We don't want them, after they have filled 40 vacant funded posts, when others come, they don't fill. So if we leave this by saying, all vacant funded positions must be filled. It covers any eventuality. So I wanted to appeal to Honorable Mutheka to allow the committee to leave that proposition.
Okay. Understood. Honorable Olive.
Chairperson, it is true that C and D are talking to the same issue. Country. You don't need both, you can throw one out, it will make no difference. But remember, in terms of the audit outcomes, perhaps the researcher or the content advisor can advise me, but just from memory, if you don't fill a vacant post within 3 months, it affects your audit status. The Auditor General then goes out and thinks you've not.
what you are saying if we put in what Honorable Audit is saying, because once you say according to the public service, they talk to the swimmer, but if as a committee we want to come and recommend the 6 months, it means we are moving away from the public service restraint. Once you say that, it means everybody knows that law is saying any vacant post should be filled within 3 months. So to me, it's just saying, once we talk too much on it, it would be saying Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem. When the examiner is about to mark the street, to say I have forgotten something in the street state, then you get to become wrong. You see, because he was not born in the street state, though he was in Bethlehem.
I think, members, indeed, we have discussed this issue, and we all agree that all the vacant funding posts. If you remember when the department was presenting, there was something like, I don't have that presentation, but I remember there were posts that they did not do advertisement for a certain number of time and did not do so. The issue of the vacant post is very important to us. And in that presentation, we told them that when they come back, they must not tell us by the end of this financial year that those posts are not filled. Despite the fact that we know what is in the prescripts of the PFMA, but seeing that all these departments, they don't really adhere, there are there will be funded posts, but these posts will continue to be there every time that will come. So we've made it very clear to them that by the end of the financial year, these posts, we will not take any excuse that the posts have not been funded. So I agree we can leave it as it is and just put all, just as all responded to the vacant post. It's good, members. At least we are not sleeping. You know, it is good. Anything on the recommendations, more on the recommendations, except this part of the vacant post? We are passing on that one. We delete this. Are we not almost done, guys? You still, how many pages are left? One, two. How many? Four. Okay, I'm defeated. Okay, now tea break is declared.